Shall we say amen?
Amen.
Once again, we have been blessed by the Almighty God to come together and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We do not take that lightly because we are so aware that there are people in this world who wish that they could trade places with us, to have the freedom with which to worship without any hindrance or impediment. And so we must take full advantage of the privilege we have given by God to worship Him. And I thank Brother Lightfoot for leading us in those songs. Amen. Our regular song leader, Brother EJ, is not in the best of health. He may look it, but he doesn't feel it. So please keep him in your prayers. But we appreciate Brother Lightfoot with his normal energetic side.
Amen.
Leading us in those wonderful songs. Let us go to God in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege we have today to worship you. Father, we want to worship you not in a way that pleases ourselves, but in a way that pleases you.
Amen.
For worship is all about you, O God. For indeed, this is the day that you have made, and we want to rejoice and to be glad in it.
Amen.
Be with every hearer, including myself, that, Father, each of us will be blessed by your word, the glory and the honor that come forth as a result, we pray will be directed to you and you only. Father, it's in the Son's name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Many Christians go through a period of doubting their own faith. And I don't know about you, but I know that there have been times in my life in which I have questioned the authenticity and the genuineness of my faith. Especially when we meet upon certain circumstances, we begin to question our faith. Is it real? Is my faith a fake? Or is it the real deal? And for some of us, doubting is a part of our nature. You know, second-guessing anything is just a part of our nature. You know, you go buy something at the supermarket, by the time you get home, you want to go back and return it because you begin to wonder, did I make a good purchase? Because second-guessing or even being skeptical is a part of our nature for many of us. Sometimes it's good to be cynical. Sometimes it's good to be skeptical. You know, just about a month ago, I read of a lady who met a gentleman online on one of these online dating sites. And within 1 week, they had decided to marry. The man said to her that he's a millionaire. And I find that a little ironic, considering what happened afterwards. They decided to get married, and in the process of putting all of that plans together, they decided to go house hunting because they wanted to buy a house together. What can be more romantic than to go house hunting? And they located a house. And he said to her, why don't you give $80,000? I'll put the rest. Because it sounds good when both of us can buy a house together. And without hesitation, she gave him $80,000. You know what he did afterwards? He left town and cut off all contacts thereafter. Obviously, she realized that he was scammed. And I'm saying, friends, that, you know, there's an old adage, if it sounds too good to be true, maybe it is just too good to be true. And in this day and age, our world is filled with con artists, filled with scammers. And you can't help but to be skeptical. You can't help it. And there are times in which it is wise to second guess certain things. There are times that you need to do that. But there are times when skepticism and doubting are not good for our lives. Bear with me here this morning because I want to speak to you on the subject without doubting or without a doubt. There are times when, yes, it would be good for us to be skeptical, but there are times when it is not good. And we all know when there are times when we need to be skeptical. But what are those times in which we should not be skeptical? What are those times when we should not doubt? What are those times when we should just trust God and allow Him to lead?
Amen.
And that's what I want to focus on this morning. You know, the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, knowledge and confidence are critical to our lives as Christians. Without a knowledge of God's word and confidence in that word, we can't please God. The Bible says without that, we cannot please God. We cannot come to Him and be pleasing to Him. So if we lack knowledge about the scriptures, there's no way we can please God. So lacking knowledge about things that are important is important for us to focus on this morning. When we lack knowledge on things that are of spiritual importance, when we lack knowledge and we begin to doubt those important matters, it can bring some serious consequences to our lives. I want you to bear with me. The things that are critical to our spiritual lives, when we become skeptical of them, they can have serious consequences on our lives. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. James chapter 1, the passage that Brother Juan read for us. In James 1 verse 6, the Bible says, "He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." So therefore, he's saying that there comes a time when if you are skeptical, you're just like the sea that is restless and is never stable. The sea and the wave keeps on moving. And the Bible says such a man is double-minded in all his ways. In other words, he says one thing today and then another thing he says tomorrow. And so for the next few minutes, as we look at this subject, without a doubt, let us dive right into what God's word has to say. And I want to look at 3 points this morning on this matter. 3 points. First of all, I want you to know that doubting is normal. It is normal to be skeptical. This is not something special. It is normal to doubt. As a matter of fact, when you check the scriptures, contrary to popular belief, the best of God's people suffered from doubt also. Best of God's people. Like for example, we think of Abraham. When God said, "I will bless you with a son." And even his wife Sarah laughed at the whole idea. Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis 20. The best of God's people suffered from skepticism also. Because it's a normal thing to doubt. If you're approaching 100 years of age, you might want to doubt if you're told that you'll have a child, you know. So she doubted, he doubted, even though God had promised that they would have a son. We think of John the Baptist in Matthew 11 verses 2 and 3. John the Baptist, when he was imprisoned, the Bible tells us that this is after he had baptized Jesus Christ, long after. The Bible says he was imprisoned, and while he was imprisoned, that he sent words to Jesus Christ, tell his disciples to go and ask Jesus if he's the Christ, if he's the one that has been sent, or should we look for another? Can you imagine? He met Christ before. He baptized him. He said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God." And now, years after, John was now having doubts about Jesus Christ. Go and ask him if he's the Christ. Go and ask him if he's the one who was promised to be sent. Go and ask him, because what I'm trying to say, brethren and friends, is that the best of God's people suffer from doubt at various times in their lives.
Amen.
It is normal. It is normal. That's what I want you to understand. What about Matthew chapter 28? Just before Jesus Christ ascended, after he had risen, in Matthew 28, in verse 17, the Bible says that his disciples gathered to him, the 11 disciples, minus Judas. You know what happened to Judas. So his 11 disciples met him on the mountain, and they worshipped him. Look at this now. And the Bible says, but some doubted. Do you see that? His very disciples, the 11 disciples, the Bible says, some worshipped him, but some doubted him. What I'm trying to let you understand is that it is not abnormal when you doubt. The best of God's people did that. All right? Sometimes when we are going through difficult circumstances in our lives, And they're just coming down on us like a landslide, one after the other. We begin to doubt our own faith. Lord, what have I done? Is my faith real? What have I done? When problems begin to hit you from all angles, then you begin to question your own faith. That's what I'm trying to say, brethren. What I'm saying is that it is normal to doubt. But hear me on this now. It may be normal, but doubting spiritually important things can be dangerous to our souls. I know you're wondering, well, how so? How so? Well, let's look at a few examples, all right? Doubt itself is an infectious disease. When you begin to doubt, it has a way of spreading its tentacles to all different parts of your life. You begin to question so many things in your life. When you are suffering from that monster called doubt, it can lead to a failure to trust God. You can't trust God anymore. Yes, you read it in the scriptures, you sing these wonderful songs, but you cannot get to that point where you really trust God as you ought to, because your life has been become paralyzed by doubt. Doubt, my friends, can cause us to reduce our prayer life to a mere ritual. Yeah. You know, you don't pray because you believe in it. You pray because it's a habit, you know. Yeah. So doubt then has reduced our prayer lives to nothing but a ritualistic thing. We don't believe in the power of prayer. That's what doubt does. I'm telling you that when you doubt spiritual important things, it can lead to dangerous consequences. That's what I'm trying to say to you. What about the fact that doubt can lead to us failing to receive God's blessings? That's what James chapter 1 verse 7 and 8 says. Let such a man understand that he will not be blessed by God. That's what James says. The man who doubts, the man who is like the wave of the sea being tossed to and fro, let him understand that he will not be blessed by God because he doubts. He doubts. You want to hear another thing? If you think that doubt is something to play around with, doubt can lead you to backsliding. Finally throwing in the towel. And you say, no, enough is enough. I've given up. Because you no longer are driven by faith. But every step you make is a step of doubt. And because of that, you can only take so much and no more. And you give up the faith. And there are many, many used to be Christians. Because of doubt, they are no longer worshiping God. Not something for us to play around with. So while it may be normal, in many instances, especially our spiritual lives, it is not useful and good for our lives. So each of us must look at our own lives and ask ourselves the question, am I filled with doubt? Do I really trust God as I ought to? Do I? In what areas of my life have been affected by doubt? What are those areas? So therefore, what I'm trying to say then is that doubting is normal. But not because it's normal, it is necessarily right and good for us because of the consequences that we can experience, which leads me to my second point this morning. Because we're all affected by doubt, can I suggest this to you? That you focus then on the things that you can know. Because there are some things we will never, ever, ever be able to explain in life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are some of us, unless we have an answer to every question, then we will never be at peace with ourselves. And I will tell you that there are things that we will even read in the scriptures that we really don't have an answer for, a clear answer. Amen. But we must focus on what we can know. Let what we can know define our lives, not the things that we don't know and can't know. Amen. You know, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the writer says, the secret things belong to God. There are certain things, brethren, that as much as we try, we can ask the best of scientists and whatever, but we'll never be able to come to the answer to the question. Never. However, without a doubt, we can know certain things. This is what I want to tell you now. These are the things that you must focus on, because we can know these things. Like what? First of all, we can know that there's a God. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then we find Psalm 14 verse 1. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. We can know that there is a God because there are evidence all over that tells us clearly that there is indeed a God. We can know that without a doubt. Without a doubt. But secondly, we can know that Jesus is the Son of God. We can know that. As a matter of fact, not only can we know that, we better know that. Because John 8 verse 24, Jesus Christ says, except ye believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. We can know that he's the Son of God. We don't have to if and but about this. The scriptures are clear on this subject, that he's the Son of God. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're Jeremiah or Elijah or some other prophets. But who do you say that I am? And they said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If there's nothing else, make sure that you know without a doubt that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There are other things that we may not know. But one thing we know for sure is that that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thirdly, we can know that Jesus rose from the dead. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something, brethren. You can't talk about the gospel unless you include in that as the core of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. You cannot preach the gospel unless you include in it what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We know that. We know that without a doubt because the Bible is absolutely clear on this subject. So yes, I know many times our lives are rocked by doubt. And that's okay. But the things that are most important, the things that we can know, we must know them and we must hold on to them with dear life. Yes. With dear life. We can know, brethren and friends. We can know that there's one church. Not because it sounds fancy, but because the scriptures are clear on the matter. In Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, the Bible says that the church is the body. And the body is the church. Then Ephesians 4 verse 4, the Bible says that there is one body. If the body is the church and the church is the body, then it means that if there's one body, it means that there's one church. We can know that because the Bible is clear on that subject. And we better know that without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I know that sometimes when you're at work or at school or maybe with your friends, you are a little bit afraid to say there's one church. You give them book, chapter, and verse on the matter. Because this is something that we can know without a doubt. Without a doubt. We can know, brethren and friends, that one cannot be saved unless he's baptized in water. We're not saying this because this is a Church of Christ thing. We're saying it because it's a Bible thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People cannot be saved unless they are baptized in water. Not sprinkled, not poured upon. They can't bypass baptism. They have got to go through baptism in order to be saved. How do we know that? The scriptures are clear. Mark 16 verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But sometimes, you know, we want to be so politically correct. So we try to sugarcoat it. And we say, well, you know what? Yes, you must do that. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. You know, that kind of stuff. We try to beat around the bush. We have got to present the scriptures because the scriptures are clear on the matter. Yes. Saul was told, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Without a doubt, a man must be buried in water in order to be raised a new creature. Amen. If he's ever going to be saved. Amen. Of course, that is on the basis that he believes and he repents of his sins and confesses Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I'm happy to tell you this morning that we can know that we will have eternal life. I know this is something that many Christians have always battled with. We can know that we will have eternal life. 1 John 5 verse 13. In other words, if you were to do what the Bible tells you to do, to become a Christian and how to live a Christian life, then the Bible says you will have eternal life. I want to run that by you again. How can you know that you will have eternal life? Not by guessing, not by doubting, but by knowing fully what the Bible says. You can know that you have eternal life based on what the scriptures tell you to do. So when a man obeys the gospel, the Bible way, when a man lives according to the gospel and according to the scriptures, he can know without a doubt that he will have eternal life. you know, the truth, you talk about truth, and truth is such a word that is banded about and thrown all over the place. Everybody comes with their own definition of truth today. Truth is based on what the atheist believes. Truth is based on what the scientist believes. Truth is based on what the religious person believes. Truth, my friend, is based on what the scriptures teach.
Amen.
And you want to hear something? We don't have to wonder whether or not the truth has been revealed to us. Because the Bible says in John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The problem is that many of us are listening to all different kinds of definition, and we are overlooking what Jesus Christ says the truth is. You can know. And this is nothing mystifying. Should not be anyway. And therefore what I'm saying is that in a time of such doubt, a time when so many people are trying to bore holes in your faith, to tell you that your faith is not real, it's important that you stand confidently on solid ground. If your life is filled with doubt, then anything anybody says can easily knock you off your feet. Anybody. And I worry sometimes that there are many Christians who are barely making it by, spiritually speaking. You cannot be a casual Christian or else you'll end up a casualty. I've said that to you many times. You've got to get beneath that. So therefore, we must focus on the things that we can know. Don't sit down and wonder, well, you know, because I don't know this, I don't think I can continue to serve. No. Look at what has been revealed. And focus on those things that we can know. And let those things define your faith. Because until Jesus Christ comes again, there are many things that we will never be able to answer to. But that's not my prerogative. My prerogative is to do the things that God has commanded me to do. Amen. Thirdly, what God has revealed to us is sufficient. Mm-hmm. Sufficient for us. So I don't want us to believe that what we can know is just half of what we should know. What God has revealed to us is sufficient. Sufficient for us to please Him and to have eternal life. They are sufficient. You step out of that and you're getting into peripheral stuff. Where did Cain find his wife? And we battle over all this kind of stuff, not realizing that these things are peripheral stuff. Unimportant stuff. What kind of fish did Peter catch? And we get down into all the kind of nitty-gritty. These are insignificant stuff, brethren. Alright? We must focus on the things that we can know. And this is what I'm saying to us. What we have gotten in the scriptures are sufficient for us. The Bible tells us, for example, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, not some things, but all things. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. So what we have right here in the scriptures, hey, they're sufficient for us. They're sufficient for us. So there's no need to go and buy an extra book, one of these Watchtower books and some of these Book of Mormons. You know, one advertisement from the Mormon said, you have the testaments, but do you have the other testament? Have you ever seen that ad yet? Yeah, so there's a third testament according to the Mormons. But let me tell you what, this is what God says is sufficient for us.
Amen.
All things that pertain to life are found right here in God's word.
Amen.
That's what it tells us. We will never know all that we want to know, but we can know all that we need to know.
Amen.
That's what I want to understand. And I know you're going to have doubts. I know maybe during the course of this week, you're going to wonder, well, you know, is my faith real? Because I don't know this and I don't know that. Or maybe because you're going through issues in your life, you begin to wonder, is my faith real? Because we tend to believe that once there are problems, it means that your faith is not real. And we could not be farther from the truth. Could not be. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus Christ says, you search the scriptures. To the scribes and Pharisees, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. In other words, the scriptures contain eternal life. That's what he's saying. Then again, we find it in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Hear what Paul says. Paul says in Acts 17, verse 30, the times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands men everywhere to repent. In other words, all that you need to know to repent, you have it right there in the scriptures. So therefore, you have no excuse. Can you imagine me standing before God on that day and say, Lord, you know what? There are certain things I just didn't know and I tried. Maybe true, but all that you needed to know, you could have known. You could have known. Maybe one of the most frightening passages in all of the Bible is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's not on the screen there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and from verse chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. A passage that I would encourage you to write down, because you're going to need it as a reminder when you are going through periods of doubt. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. And to give you who are troubled, Paul said to the Thessalonians, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on one, them that know not God, two, and on those that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice he says, those who know not. Knowledge is important. Strive for that which it can be known in the scriptures. Don't get caught up in all these unnecessary stuff. Amen. Don't do that. Sometimes when I hear many Bible scholars argue, I've watched some of these discussions, and I hear they get down into some deep stuff, and you wonder, are they still in the Bible? Because they're getting into such deep stuff that you feel like you have been abandoned somewhere along the road. But what I'm saying, brethren, is that don't worry about that. What you ought to worry about is what is revealed clearly in God's word, and follow what God says.
Amen.
Follow God's word. We can know without a doubt what we need to do to become faithful servants of Jesus Christ. We can know. I say, yes, it's okay to doubt, but make sure you're doubting things that should be doubted. Like when a man comes to your house and he's selling you something, you might want to second guess what he's selling. All right? But when it comes to the scriptures and clear teachings of God's word, you ought to submit yourself to those teachings and please God by being obedient to them. You ought to. So therefore, if as a member of the church, maybe you have been questioning your faith in recent times, you know, maybe you have even harbored thoughts of giving up because you don't feel as comfortable as you ought. Because comfortableness for you means that you have answers to everything. And you'll never have answers to everything. Even as a minister myself, I still battle with certain things because I just don't have answers to. But thanks be to God, the things that are of paramount importance, I can know and have been revealed to me. And to you, you can know. So maybe as a member of the church, your life has been tossed to and fro by skepticism and doubt and cynicism. Perhaps that's the case. And this is a good time to say, brethren, I don't intend to start this week on a doubtful footing. Please pray for me that I will hunger and thirst after God's word. As the deer pants after the water brooks, please pray that my soul will pant after God. Same way. Let us pray for you in this regard. Because when you go through those doors, and if you're like that man whose faith is being tossed to and fro like the waves of the sea, then we're not too sure what will happen come next week if you'll still be around. Because it is so risky with a doubtful Christian life. So risky to live. Maybe you battle with your prayer life. Maybe your prayer life has become more a task than a blessing. Because you really don't believe in its power anymore. Well, this is the time to say, brethren, please pray for me. Because I cannot go on with a doubtful life. Because I'm here to tell you, you can live that life without a doubt on important matters. Is there someone here who's not a member of the body of Christ? If you're willing to believe the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came, that he died for your sins, that he rose from the dead so that we can have a new life, a recreated life, and if you're willing to be baptized in water, having believed that message, having repented of your sins and confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then happily you can be baptized in water and be raised a new creature. This is your call as we stand and we sing that song of encouragement. Let us all stand, please.